Brachos daf zayin. Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Yosi minayicha kodesh baruch hu mispalal shenemar b'Rabbi Yosi el har kodshi b'simachtim b'beis tefilasi. Tefilasal lo neemar ela tefilasi minkanche kodesh baruch hu mispalal. Along the same lines, Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yosi, from where is it derived that Hashem prays? As it stated, I will bring them to my holy mountain and make them joyful in the house of my prayer. From Yeshayahu 56. The verse does not say the house of their prayer, but rather house of my prayer. From here we see that Hashem prays. My Mitzali, my Mashli. The Gemara asks, what does God pray? To whom does God pray? Amarav Zucha Bartuvia Amarav, Yihiratam Elephana, Sheyich Peshu Rachamai Eskasi, Yigola Rachamai Almidosa, Ves Naik, Imbanai, Beminas Rachmi, Vekanis Lam, Lichnimishurasidin. Rav Zucha Bartuvia said, the Rav said, God says, may it be my will that my mercy will overcome my anger towards Israel for their transgressions, and may my mercy prevail over my other attributes through which Israel is punished, and may I conduct myself towards my children, Yisrael, with the attribute of mercy. And may I enter before them beyond the letter of the law. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, Pamachas Tichnachti Lahakter Ketoris Lifnai Velifnim, Vereisi Akatriel Ya Hashem Tzavakos. Shu Yoshev Al Kisei Ram ben Yisrael, Amar Rabbi Yishmael ben Birchin Barchini, Amar Tilo Yehiratzim Ilfanecha, Sheikh Bashur Rachamecha Eskaascha, Vigola Rachamecha Amidosech, Vesisnai Gimanecha, Pimiris Aracham, Vesiskan Islam, Lifnim Yishra Sadir, Nian Ali, Barosho. The Kamash Milan Shalokahim Brekas Hedyot Kala Be'enecha. Similarly, it was taught in the Brice of the Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, said, once in Yom Kippur I entered the innermost sanctum, the Holy of Holies, to offer incense, and I saw a vision of a Katriel Yah, the Lord of Hosts, one of the names of God expressing his ultimate authority, seated upon a high and exalted throne. See the sixth parak of Yeshayahu. And he said to me, Yishmael, my son, bless me. I said to him, the prayer that God prays. May it be your will that your mercy overcome your anger, and may your mercy prevail over your other attributes, and may you act towards your children with the attribute of mercy, and may you enter before them beyond the letter of the law. Hashem nodded his head and accepted the blessing. This event teaches us that you should not take the blessing of an ordinary person lightly. If God asked for and accepted a man's blessing, all the more so that a man must value the blessing of another man. Bam Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yosi Minayin She'en Maratin Lo La'adam B'Shas Kaso Itziv Panay Yelecho V'Anichosi Li Lach Bam Lo Hakadosh Baruch L'Moshe Hamtein Li Achiyaru Panim Shalzam V'Aniach Licha. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yosi, from where is it derived that one must not placate a person while he is in the throes of his anger? Rather, he should mollify him only after he has calmed down. As it's written, when following the sin of the golden calf, Moshe requested that the divine presence rest upon Yisrael, as it had previously, and God said to him, my face will go, and I will give you rest. From the 33rd parak of Shemos. Rabbi Yochanan explained, Hashem said to Moshe, wait until my face of wrath will pass, and I will grant your request. One must wait for a person's anger to pass as well. The Gemara asks, and is there anger before Hashem? Can we speak of God using terms like getting angry? In Titania Vikel Zoim Bechol Yom, the Gemara answers yes. As it was taught in Brisa, God becomes angry. As it stated, God vindicates the righteous. God is furious every day. From the 7th chapter of Tehillim. Vekama Zalmo Rega. Vekama Rega. Echem Nichameshes. Ribo, Ushmona Salafim, Ushmone Meos, Ushmonim, Ushmona. Bisha, Zohi Rega, Ve'en Kol Brea Yechola Lechavino Sosha. Chutz mi Vilam HaRasha. Dichsiv Ve'eva Yodei Adas Elyon. How much time does Hashem's anger last? God's anger lasts a moment. And how long is a moment? 158,888 of an hour. That is a moment. The Gemara adds, and no creature can precisely determine that moment when God becomes angry, except for Bilam the wicked, about whom it is written, he knows the knowledge of the Most High. From the 24th chapter of Sefer Bamidbar. Hashta das behemdo, lo havayada. Das yalim havayada. This should not be understood to mean that Bilam was a full-fledged prophet. Now, clearly Bilam did not know the mind of his animal. And he did know the mind of the Most High. If he could not understand the rebuke of his donkey, he was certainly unable to understand the mind of the Most High. Rather, this verse from Numbers teaches that Balaam was able to precisely determine the hour that Hashem is angry. At that moment, Balaam would utter his curse, and through God's anger, it would be fulfilled. And that is what the prophet said to Yisrael, my nation, remember what Balak, king of Moab, advised, how Balaam, son of Beor, responded from Shittim to Gilgal, so that you may know the righteous acts of Hashem, from the sixth chapter of Micha. What is meant by the statement, so that you may know the righteous acts of Hashem? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Lama Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Du'u kama tzedakos, asisi himachem, shelo ka'asti, b'me Balaam, arasha, Abelazar said that Hashem said to Yisrael, know how many acts of kindness I performed on your behalf, that I did not become angry during the days of Balaam HaRasha, Balaam the wicked. For had I become angry, there would have been no remnant or survivor remaining among the enemies of Yisrael. That's a euphemism for Yisrael themselves. Instead, God restrained his anger, and Balaam's curse went unfulfilled. And this is what Balaam said to Balak. How can I curse whom God has not cursed? And how can I condemn whom God has not condemned? From the 23rd chapter of Sefer Bamidbar. This verse teaches that all those days, God was not angry. And how long does his anger last? God's anger lasts a moment. And how long is a moment? Rabbi Avin and some said Rabbi Avina said, a moment lasts as long as it takes to say the word rega. From where do we derive that God is angry only for a moment? As it stated, and his anger is but for a moment. His anger is but for a moment. His favor for a lifetime. From the 30th chapter of Tehillim. And if you wish, say instead, from here, as it stated, hide yourself for a brief moment until the anger passes. From the 26th chapter of Yeshayahu. Meaning that God's anger passes in a mere moment. Ve'emas rasach. The Gemara asks, when is Hashem angry? Abaye said, God's anger is revealed through animals. During the first 3 hours of the day, when the sun whitens the crest of the rooster, and that rooster stands on one leg, when it appears that its life has left him, and he suddenly turns white, that is when God is angry. The Gemara asks, the rooster also stands that way every hour of the day. So what kind of sign is this? It's not specific. The answer is, Kol shata isbe shuryake sumake. Behai shaita leisbe shuryake sumake. The Gemara answers, the difference is that every other hour when the rooster stands in that way, there are red streaks in his crest. But when God is angry, there are no streaks in his crest. It's totally white during that hour. But during the other hours, it's white, but there's red streaks. Hahumina dahava beshivuse de Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Havaka, betzarle tuva bekroy. Yomachad shakal tanagola, veukme ben kawe de arsa, vaayinbe. Savar ki mata hahishaita elde. Alati. Kimata Hahishaita Naim Amar Shmamina Labor Avara Lame Barahu Rahma Bakomas of Ksi. The Gemara relates a certain heretic who is in Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's neighborhood would upset him by incessantly challenging the legitimacy of Sukim. One day, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi took a rooster and placed it between the legs of a bed upon which he sat and looked at it. He thought, when the moment of God's anger arrives, I will curse that heretic and be rid of him. When the moment of God's anger arrived, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi slept, fell asleep. When he woke up, he said to himself, conclude from the fact that I nodded off that it is not proper conduct to do this, to curse people, even if they are wicked. His mercy is over all his creatures, says in Tehillim, Perek number 145. That is written even with regard to sinners. That's the Perek of Tehillim that we normally call Asher. Uksiv gam anosh latzadik lo tov. Moreover, it is inappropriate to cause the punishment of another person. As it is written, punishment, even for the righteous, is not good. From the 17th chapter of Mishnah. Even for a righteous person, it is improper to punish another. Tana, Mishmei Rabbi Meir. B'shar she'acham ha'zarachas, b'kol machal mizrach umar av medichim kisrein b'roshim u'mishtachim m'chama, v'yad ko'ez ha'kodesh baruch hu. Explaining the cause of God's anger, it is taught in the name of Rabbi Meir, when the sun rises and the kings of the east and the west place their crowns on their heads and bow to the sun, Hashem immediately grows angry. Since this occurs in the early hours every day, God becomes angry at his world at that moment every day. And Rabbi Yohanan said in the name of Rabbi Yossi, a single regret or pang of guilt in one's heart is preferable to many lashes administered by others that cause only physical pain. As it stated, and she chases her lovers, but she does not overtake them. She seeks them, but she will not find them. And she will say, I will go and return to my first husband, for it was better for me than now. From the second chapter of Hosea. Remorse is more effective than any externally imposed punishment listed in the verses that follow. In the verses that follow, meaning Hosea, second chapter, verses 11 through 19. Which say, Lachin Asher v'lakachti d'gani v'ito v'siroshi b'mo'ado v'hitzalti tzamri u'pishti l'chasas ha'sarvasa. Assuredly, I will take back my new grain in its time and my new wine in its season, and I will snatch away my wool and my linen that serve to cover her nakedness. V'ata agala es navlusa le'enei me'ahavirha v'ish lo yatzilena miyadi. Now I will uncover her shame in the sight of her lovers, and none shall save her from me. V'hishbati kol mesosa chaga chadasha. And I will end all her rejoicing, her festivals, new moons, and Sabbaths, all her festive seasons. I will lay waste her vines and her fig trees, which she thinks are a fee she receives from her lovers. I will turn them into brushwood, and the beasts of the field shall devour them. Thus I will punish her for the days of Baalim, on which she brought them offerings, meaning when the Jewish people brought idol worship to Baal. When decked with earrings and jewels, she would go after her lovers, meaning the idols, forgetting me, Hashem, declares God. Lachin hini anochi mefateha v'holachtia hamidbar v'dibarti aliba. Assuredly, I will speak coaxingly to her and lead her through the wilderness and speak to her tenderly. V'nasati la es kerameha misham es emek achor lepesach tikva v'alza shama kimei ne'ireha v'chayom alosa ne'eret mitzrayim. I will give her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as a plowland of hope. There she shall respond as in the days of her youth when she came up from the land of Egypt. And in that day, declares Hashem, you will call me Ishi. And no more will you call me Baali. For I will remove the names of Baalim from her mouth, and they shall never more be mentioned by my name. So that was supposed to illustrate that remorse is more effective than any externally imposed punishment. And that was Rabbi Yochanan. And Reish Lakish said that in the Tanakh, it seems that such remorse is preferable to 100 lashes. As it is stated, a rebuke enters deeper into a man of understanding than 100 lashes to a fool. From Mishlei, the 17th chapter. Am Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Shlosh Adron, Bikish Moshe, Benitnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Benatzen Lo, Bikish Shetish Roshchina Al Yisrael, Benatzen Lo, Shenayamar, Halof, Belech, Bechayimanu. Rabbi Yochanan said, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, regarding Moshe's request that Hashem's presence rest upon Israel as it once had, Moshe requested three things from Hashem at that time, all of which were granted to him. He requested that Hashem's presence rest upon Israel and not leave, and he granted to him as it is, and it was granted to him, as it stated, for how can it be known that I have found grace in your sight, I and your people? This is Moshe asking Hashem, is it not that you go with us so that we are distinguished, I and your people, from all the nations, from all the people that are on the face of the earth? This is from chapter 33 of Sefer Shemos. The request, is it not that you go with us, refers to the resting of the divine presence upon Israel, that Hashem should go with the Jewish people. And Moshe requested, secondly, that the Hashem's presence should not rest upon the nations of the world, and that request was granted him. As it is stated, so that we are distinguished, I and your people, from all the people on the face of the earth. Lastly, Moshe requested that the ways in which God conducts the world be revealed to him, and he granted it to him, as it is stated, show me your ways, and I will know you, asks Moshe from Hashem. Moshe said before Hashem, Master of the universe, why is it that the righteous prosper, the righteous suffer, the wicked prosper, and the wicked suffer? All these different treatments of categories of people. God said to Moshe, Moshe, the righteous person who prospers is a righteous person, the son of a righteous person, who is rewarded for the actions of his ancestors. The righteous person who suffers is a righteous person, the son of a wicked person, who is punished for the transgressions of his ancestors. The wicked person who prospers is a wicked person, the son of a righteous person, who is rewarded for the actions of his ancestors. The wicked person who suffers is a wicked person, the son of a wicked person, who is punished for the transgressions of his ancestors. Amar, Tzadik v'tovlo, Tzadik v'tzadik, Tzadik v'ralo, Tzadik ben Rasha. Ini, v'haksin, poged avon avos olbanim, v'haksin, v'banim l'yumso alavos. Veramina, kvai ahadani. The Gemara expands upon these righteous and wicked individuals. The Master said, the righteous person who prospers is a righteous person, the son of a righteous person. The righteous person who suffers is a righteous person, the son of a wicked person. The Gemara asks, is it so that one is always punished for his ancestors' transgressions? Isn't it written, he visits iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children until the third and fourth generations? On the one hand, it says, and on the other hand, it says, it is written elsewhere that fathers shall not die for their children, and children shall not be put to death for their fathers. Every man shall die for his own transgressions. That's from Dvarim, 24th chapter. And the Gemara raises a contradiction between the two verses. So what's the answer? Umeshanein lo kasha. Hag she'och 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 The Gemara resolves the contradiction. This is not difficult. The verse from Shemos, which says that God punishes the descendants for the transgressions of their ancestors, refers to a case where they adopt the actions of their ancestors as their own. While this verse from Devarim, which states that descendants are not punished for the actions of their ancestors, refers to a case where they do not adopt the actions of their ancestors as their own. As it is stated, I visit iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the third and fourth generation of my enemies. That pasuk is from Parshas Yisro, the 20th chapter of Sefer Shemos. I understand that is a reference that the punishment only goes to the descendants if they are Hashem's enemies, as the verse concludes. So a righteous person is clearly not punished for the transgressions of his ancestors. So we're going to retract the previous answer and say instead that rather it must be that God said to Moshe as follows. The righteous person who prospers is a completely righteous person, whose actions are entirely good and whose reward is entirely good both in this world and the world to come. A righteous person who suffers is one who is not a completely righteous person. Because he does have some transgressions, he is punished in this world, so that he will receive a complete reward in the world to come. So it's really for his benefit. And the wicked person who prospers is one who is not a completely wicked person. God rewards him in this world for the good deeds that he performed, so that he will receive a complete punishment in the world to come. So when he's prospering in this world, it's really for his detriment in the world to come. Finally, the wicked person who suffers is a completely wicked person, since he has performed absolutely no mitzvos, and deserves no reward. He receives only punishment, both in this world and in the world to come, according to the Marshal. We'll plead to Rabbi Meir. To Amar Rabbi Meir, Shtaim nosnu lo, ma'achas lo nosnu lo. Shnei Amar, ma'chanosi es asher achum. Avo bishe eno hogun, v'richati es asher arachim, avo bishe eno hogun. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that God granted Moshe's all three of the requests disagrees with that of Rabbi Meir. As Rabbi Meir said, two of Moshe's requests were granted to him and one was not granted to him. Hashem granted to Moshe that the divine presence would rest upon Israel and not leave, and that the divine presence would not rest upon the nations of the world. But God did not reveal to Moshe the ways in which Hashem conducts the world. As it says, I now will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, from Shmos Lamed Gimel. And in his mercy, God bestows his grace upon every person, even though he is not worthy. Similarly, God said, and I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, even though he is not worthy. So according to Rabbi Meir, the way in which God conducts the world and bestows grace and mercy was not revealed even to Moshe. Only Hashem knows why he treats certain people well and others not well. Vayomer lo sucha liros es banai. Tana mishmei de Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha. Karcha amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Kishotzitzi lo atzitza. Ashev she'ata rotze, eini rotze. The Gemara continues to cite the sage's explanation of verses that require clarification on the same topic. With regard to God's statement to Moshe, and he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live, from the 33rd parak of Sefer Shmos. It was taught in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha that Hashem said to Moshe as follows, when I wanted to show you my glory at the burning bush, you did not want to see it, as it says, and Moshe concealed his face, fearing to gaze upon Hashem. From the third parak of Shemos. But now that you want to see my glory, as you said, show me your glory, I do not want to show it to you. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha interprets Moshe's initial refusal to look upon God's glory negatively, as he rebuffed God's desire to be close to him. Well, plegat Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Am Rabbi Yochanan. To Am Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Am Rabbi Yochanan, v'schar shalosh zachal l'shalosh. This disagrees with that which Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani said that Rabbi Yonatan said, as Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani said that Rabbi Yonatan said, specifically as a reward for three acts of humility in averting his glance at the burning bush, Moshe was privileged to experience three great revelations. So he's interpreting that as favorable, that Moshe didn't want to look when Hashem offered. B'schar vayaster Moshe panav zachal leklaster panim. B'schar ki yorei zachal le vayiru migeshes elav. B'schar batmei habib zachal leusumunas Hashem yavit. Because Moshe concealed his face, fearing to gaze upon Hashem, from the third parak of Shmos, he was privileged to have his countenance klaster glow. Because he feared, it was privileged that they feared to approach him, in Shmos parak lamadala. Because he did not gaze, he was privileged to behold the image of Hashem in the 12th parak of Sefer Bamidbar. V'hasirosi es kapi v'ra'isi es echove. Amar Rav Acha bar Bizna, Amar Rav Yishuvin chasidim. Lamed shehera HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe kesher shel tefillin. And what did Moshe see? It is said, and I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face you will not see. From Shmos, the 33rd chapter. Rav Chana Bar Bizna said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Chasidah, the expression, and you will see my back, should be understood as follows. This teaches that Hashem, who, as mentioned above, wears tefillin. So Hashem showed him the knot of the tefillin of his head, which is worn on the back of the head. Bam Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Kol Dibur V'Dibur Shiyatsu Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Tova, Afilu Al Tanai, Lo Chazar Bo. On this subject, Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yossi, every statement to a person or to a nation that emerged from the mouth of Hashem with a promise of good, even if it was conditional, Hashem did not renege upon it. Ultimately, every promise made by God will be fulfilled for good. Menalon, Mimoshe Rabbeinu Shenamar, Harif Mimeni, Ve'ash Midei, Ve'ez Ha'oskal Degoyatsun, Abagav Deboi Moshe Rachamei Ala Demilse Ubatma, Afilu Hachi Okma Bazari. Shneamar b'nei Moshe Gershom Eliezer, v'yihiu b'nei Eliezer Rechavi Harosh b'nei Rechavi Rabu Lamala. From where do we derive that all of God's promises are fulfilled? We know this from Moshe Rabbeinu, as Hashem promised and said, "Leave me alone." Hashem is talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says, "Leave me alone. I will destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make from you a nation mightier and greater than they." That's in the 9th chapter of Sefer Devarim. Even though Moshe prayed to have the decree repealed and it was nullified, the promise was fulfilled and Moshe's descendants became a nation mightier and greater than the 600,000 B'nai Yisrael in the desert. As it is stated with regard to the Levim, the sons of Moshe, Gershom, and Eliezer, the sons of Eliezer were Rechaviah the chief, and Eliezer had no other sons, and the sons of Rechaviah were very many. That's from Divrei HaYamim Aleph, the 23rd chapter. So we see the descendants of Moshe actually were in fact made into a great people. Tanya Rav Yosef Lamala, Mishishim Ribo, Asya Revia Revia, Ksiv Hacha, Rav Lamala, Ksiv Hasim Ubnei Yisrael, Paro V'Yishvetsu Vayiru. And Rav Yosef taught in a braisa, many means more than 600,000. This is learned through a verbal analogy between the words many and many. Revia Revia. It is written here with regard to Rechaviah's sons, there were very many. And it is written there with regard to the B'nai Yisrael and Mitzrayim, and the B'nai Yisrael became numerous and multiplied and were very many. And waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. That's from the beginning of Sefer Shmos. Just as when the B'nai Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, very many meant that there were 600,000 of them, so too the descendants of Rechaviah were 600,000. This concludes Zion Amud Aleph. Number base, Amr Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, Miyom Shabar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Esa Olam Lohaya Adam Shekaru Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon Ad Sheba Avram Ukra Adon Shneamar Vayomar Adonai Elohim Ma'ida Ki Yirashina. Until now, the Gemara has cited statements made by Rabbi Yochanan in the name of the Tana Rabbi Yossi. Now the Gemara begins to cite what Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. From the day that Hashem created the world, there was no person who called Hashem Adon, Master, or Lord, until Abram came and called him Adon. As it is stated, and he said, "My Lord, God, by what shall I know?" Meaning Adoni, Hashem, by what shall I know that I will inherit it? Meaning the land of Eretz Yisrael, by the bris bein of Mitzrayim. From the 15th chapter of Sefer Bereishis. Amarav, Aftani alonana ella bishvil Avram. Shinem rava atashma alokenu el tfila zavdecha ve al tachanuna ve hair panecha ve al mikdashcha ve hashamim leman adonai. Leman cha mivoyle. The Gemara cites another statement extolling the virtue of Avram, and it's mentioned as follows. As Rav said, even Daniel's prayers were only answered on account of Avram. As it stated, and now listen, God, to the prayer of your servant and to his supplication, and cause your face to shine upon your desolate base of Mikdash for the sake of the Lord. That's from the 9th chapter of Sefer Daniel. The verse should have said, and cause your face to shine upon your desolate base of Mikdash for your sake, since Daniel was addressing Hashem. Ela leman Avram shekoracha adon. Rather, the verse contained the allusion that the prayer should be accepted for the sake of Avram, who called God by the name Adon, or Master. Daniel utilized that name of God in order to evoke Avram's virtue and enhance his prayer. And Rabbi Yochanan said of the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, from where is it derived that one must not placate a person while the person is in the throes of his anger? As it stated, my face will go and I will give you rest. That we saw in Amar Aleph as well. V'am Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, V'yom Shabbat HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaSalam Alo Hayo Anam Shehor Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaShabbat Saleh V'Hodatim Shnei Amar HaPam Ores Hashem. And Rabbi Yochanan said of the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, from the day that Hashem created the world, no one thanked Hashem until Leah came and thanked him. As it is stated, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and she said, this time I will give thanks to Hashem. And he was called Yehuda. That's from the 29th chapter of Sefer Bereishis. Reuben, Amar Rabbi Elazar Amar Leah, Ru'u ma bein b'ni leben chami. Ilu ben chami, apagav demidaite zavne libichiruse, tichsi, vayimkar es bichoroso liyako, chozomad ksibbe, vayistom esav es yako. Tangential to the mention of Leah's son Yehuda and the reason for his name, the Gemara explains the sources for other names, including Reuben. Rabbi Elazar said, Reuben's name should be considered a prophecy by Leah, as Leah said, see, Ru'u, the difference between my son, Bini. So you have Reuben, Ru'u Bini, see, my son. See the difference between my son and the son of my father-in-law, Esau, son of Yitzchak. Meaning, Leah's father-in-law Yitzchak had another son, Esau, and contrast him with Reuben. Both of them were firstborn, and even though Esau knowingly sold his birthright to his brother Yaakov, as it is written, and he sold his birthright to Yaakov, in the 25th chapter of Bereishis, nonetheless, behold, what is written about him, Esav, it says about Esav, and Esav hated Yaakov. Uksiv, Vayomer Hati, Korah Shmo Yaakov, Vayakveni, Zephamayim. Esav was not only angry over Yitzchak's blessings to Yaakov, but he was angry about another matter as well, as it is written. And he said, is he not rightly named Yaakov? For he has supplanted me twice. He took my birthright, and behold, now he has taken my blessing. From the 27th chapter of Sefer Bereishis. Despite having sold his birthright, he refused to relinquish it. Vilu b'ni, apagav de al karche shak le yosef le b'chiru seminei, yitziv uvachal alo yitzuei avi, nita b'chorosa le b'nei yosef, vilu hachi lo ikane be'n. Yitziv vayishma Reuben vayatzi leo miyado. While my son Reuben, even though Yosef took his birthright from him by force, as it is written, and the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn. But since he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Yosef, son of Israel. That verse is from Dibra Hayomim Aleph, the 5th chapter. Nevertheless, he was not jealous of him. As it is written, when Yosef's brother sought to kill him, and Reuben heard and saved him from their hands, saying, let us not take his life. From the 37th chapter of Bereishis. So Reuben, even though Yosef took the Bechorah against the will of Reuben, but Reuben still had care and concern for Yosef. Rus, my Rus, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shizav Saviyot, Samimena David, Shirivo, Shirivo, Lach, Kodesh Baruch, Vishiros, Vizishpach. Continuing on the topic of names, the Gemara asks, what is the meaning of the name Rus? Rabbi Yochanan said that she had the privilege that David, who inundated Hashem with songs and praises, would descend from her. The name Rus is etymologically similar to the Hebrew, in Hebrew, to the word inundate, which means riva. Manalan Ishma Garim, Amar Rabbi Eliezer de Amar Kra, Lechu Chazu Mifalos Hashem, Asher Sam Shamos Barat, Al Tikvi Shamos El Hashemos. Regarding the basic assumption that these homiletic interpretations of the names are allusions to one's future, the Gemara asks, from where do we derive that the name affects one's life? Rabbi Eliezer said that the verse says, go see the works of Hashem, who has made desolations, shamot, upon the earth, from the 46th chapter of Tehillim. Do not read the word as shamot, but rather as shemot, names. The names given to people are therefore the works of the Lord upon the earth, so they do have a significance in the events of the world. It's not just a name. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Kasha Tarbus Rav Vesel Pesa Shalom Yosef Mimachamas Gagobab, Shanamar Mizmo, the Devi Bavacha Bibne Avshalom Bidal, Uksi Basri Hashem, Marav Utsarai, Rabin Kamim Alai, the Ilu Gavi Mahamas Gagobab, Uksi, Lama Rav Shagoyim, or the Umm Yankarik, the Ilu Marav Utsarai, Loksi. And Rabbi Yochanan said, other organic statements in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. The existence of wayward children in a person's home is more troublesome than the war of Gog and Magog, the ultimate war, the climax of the travails of the Messianic times. As it is stated, a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom, from the third chapter of Psalms. As it is written, and it is written thereafter, Lord, how numerous are my enemies! Many have risen against me. That's the subsequent verse in Tehillim, the third chapter. While concerning the war of Gog and Magog, which is alluded to in the second chapter of Psalms, it is written, why are the nations in an uproar, and why do the peoples speak for naught? The kings of the earth stand up, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. He that sits in heaven laughs, the Lord mocks them. That's the beginning of the second chapter of Tehillim. Yet in this chapter describing the war of Gog and Magog, how numerous are my enemies is not written, as it is not as difficult as raising a wayward son like Absalom. Mizmor leDavid bevarcha b'pnei Avshalom b'no. Mizmor leDavid kina leDavid mibayle. Regarding the opening phrase of the psalm, which serves as its title, the Gemara wonders. It is said a psalm of David when fleeing from his son Avshalom. A psalm of David? It should have said a lament of David. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Avishalom. Moshe lema haDavid domer leAdam sheyata alav shtarcho kodem shapral ayah atziv laHa shapral somach. Rabbi Shimon ben Avishalom said a parable. So what is this similar? It is similar to a person about whom a promissory note was issued, stating that he must repay a debt to the lender. Before he repaid it, he was despondent, but worried how he will manage to pay the debt. After he repaid it, though, he was glad. Af came David. Kevin Shamar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu hinini mekim alecha ra'am yibisecha. Haya atzev amar shem et evedo mamzer hu delo chayis alai. Kevin uchazad af shalom hu samach. Mishum afi amar bizma. So too was the case with David. When Hashem told David through Nathan the prophet, after the incident with Bathsheba, behold, I will raise up evil against you from your house, in Shmuel Beis, the 12th chapter, David was despondent. He said, perhaps it will be a slave or a mamzer who will rise up in my house, a person of such lowly status who will have no pity on me. But once David saw that Absalom was the one through whom the prophecy was to be fulfilled, he rejoiced, as he was certain that Absalom would show mercy to David his father. That is why David said a psalm, not a lament, thanking Hashem for punishing him in the least severe manner possible. And Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, one is permitted to provoke the wicked in this world. Though the ways of the wicked prosper, one is still permitted to provoke them and need not fear, according to Marsha. As it is stated, those who abandon the Torah will praise wickedness, and the keepers of the Torah will fight them, from the 28th chapter of Mishlei. Tani Nami Hachi Rabbi Dostai Barabi Masun Omer Mutterli Hiskaras Barashayim Ba'olam Hazeh Shenamar Ozvei Torah Yahalalu Rasha Ve'im L'chashcha Adam Lomar V'haq Siv Al Tischar Ba'mareim Al Tikane Be'ose Avla Amor Lor Mishalibo Nokbo Omer Kain Ela Al Tischar Ba'mareim Lihios Kamareim
Al tekane be'ose avla lihios ka'ose avla. That statement was also taught in a brisa. As Rabbi Dostai, son of Rabbi Matun, says, one is permitted to provoke the wicked in this world. As it is stated, those who abandon the Torah will praise wickedness, and the keepers of the Torah will fight them. And if someone whispers to you, saying, on the contrary, isn't it also written, do not compete with evildoers, and do not envy the unjust, from Tehillim, 37th chapter, meaning that one should avoid provoking the wicked. So say to that person who whispered, only one whose heart strikes him with pangs of conscience over sins that he committed says this. Rather, the true meaning of the verse is, do not compete with evildoers, to be like the evildoers, and do not envy unjust, to be like the unjust, to be like the unjust. But to provoke the wicked in this world is permitted. Ve'omer, al yakana libcha b'chataim ki'im b'yiras Hashem kol yom. The Gemara cites proof from another verse, and it says, one shall not envy the unjust, but be in fear of the Lord all the day. From the Sefer Mishlei, chapter 23. In this context, to envy means to seek to emulate the unjust. From these verses in Psalms and in Proverbs, it would seem that one is encouraged to provoke the wicked. The Gemara asks, is this so? Didn't Rabbi Yitzchak say, if you see a wicked person upon whom the hour is smiling, do not provoke him? As long as he is enjoying good fortune, there is no point in confronting him. As it's stated, his ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are far beyond him. As for his adversaries, he snorts at them. From Tehillim, chapter 10. The verse teaches us that the ways of the wicked will always succeed. And not only that, but he emerges victorious in judgment. As it is stated, your judgments are far beyond him, meaning that even when he is brought to justice, it doesn't affect him. And not only that, but he witnesses his enemy's downfall. As it's stated, as for all his adversaries, he snorts at them. Lo kasha, haba mili didei, haba mili dishmaya. To resolve this contradiction with regard to whether or not one may provoke the wicked, the Gemara offers several explanations. First, it's not difficult, as it can be understood that this, which says that one may not provoke the wicked, is referring to his personal matters, while that which it says it is a mitzvah to confront them is referring to heavenly matters. I just wonder, is mili didei his personal matters referring to personal matters of the provoker or personal matters of the wicked? Maybe both. Second answer, if you wish, you can say instead that this, which it says not to confront the wicked, and that which it says to yes confront the wicked, are both referring to matters of Shemaim, heaven, and nevertheless, there's no difficulty. This, which it says that one may not provoke the wicked, is referring to a wicked person upon whom the hour is smiling, who is enjoying good fortune. While that which it says it is a mitzvah to confront him, is referring to a wicked person upon whom the hour is not smiling. And if you wish, say instead that this which it says not to confront and that which it says yes to confront are both referring to a wicked person upon whom the hour is smiling. But the question of whether one is permitted to confront him depends upon who is confronting him. This which it says it is a mitzvah to confront him is referring to a completely righteous person, while this which it says that one may not confront the wicked is referring to one who is not completely righteous. As Rafuna said, what is the meaning of that which it is written? Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your peace when the wicked swallows the man more righteous than he? From Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. This verse is difficult to understand. Do the wicked swallow the righteous? Isn't it written, the wicked looks to the righteous and seeks to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand. nor allowed to be condemned when he is judged. From Tehillim chapter 37. And it is written, no mischief shall befall the righteous. From Mishlei chapter 12. Rather, in light of these verses, the verse, the wicked swallows the man more righteous than he, means the man who is more righteous than he, but not completely righteous, the wicked swallows. The completely righteous, the wicked does not swallow. The Ibai Sema, Shar Mesachekes Lo, Shani. And if you wish to say, in general, the wicked cannot swallow the righteous, but when the hour is smiling upon him, it is different. When the wicked are enjoying good fortune, even the righteous can be harmed, according to Birkas Hashem. And Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, setting a fixed place for prayer is so important that one who sets a fixed place for his prayer, his enemies fall beneath him, as it says, and I will appoint a place for my nation Israel, and I will plant them, that they may dwell in their own place. Through setting aside a place for prayer, they will merit to be disturbed no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as in the beginning. From Shmuel Beis, chapter 7. Rahuna Rami, Ksiv La'anosa, Ksiv La'chaloso. This verse, cited by the Gemara, leads to an additional point. Rahuna raised the contradiction. In the book of Shmuel, in this verse, it is written, to afflict them. While in the parallel verse, in Divrei HaYamim Aleph, chapter 17, verse 9, it is written, to destroy them. The Gemara resolves the contradiction. The enemies of Israel intend first to afflict the Jews and ultimately to destroy the Jews entirely. And Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, service of Torah is greater than its study, i.e., serving a Torah scholar and spending time in his company is greater than learning Torah from him. Torah study is one component of a Torah life, but one who serves a Torah scholar learns about every aspect of life from his actions. This is derived from the verse that speaks in the praise of Elisha, as it's stated, here is Elisha, son of Shaphat, who poured water over Eliyahu's hands. From the book of Malachim Beis, chapter 3. The verse does not say that he learned from Eliyahu, rather that he poured water, which teaches that the service of Torah represented by Elisha pouring water over Eliyahu's hands is greater than its study. Amalei Rabbi Yitzchak Rav Nachman, my time lo asi mar lebekanishta, mitzaluya. Amalei lo yachalna, amalei dekanfi lamar asara belitzali, amalei trichali milsa, vele amalei mar lishaluch ditzibura. As a prelude to another of the statements of Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, the Gemara relates the following incident. Rabbi Yitzchak said to Rav Nachman, why did the master not come to the shul to pray? Rav Nachman said to him, I was weak and unable to come. Rabbi Yitzchak said to him, let the master gather 10 individuals, a minyan, and at your home, and pray there. Rav Nachman said to him, it is difficult for me to impose upon the members of the community to come to my home to pray with me, according to Sefer Mitzvos HaGadol. Rabbi Yitzchak suggested another option. The master should tell the congregation to send a messenger when the congregation is praying to come inform the master so you may pray also at the same time. Amalei, my kulehai. Amalei, da'am Rabbi Yochanan, mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Nachman saw that Rabbi Yitzchak was struggling to find a way for him to engage in communal prayer. So he asked, what is the reason for all this fuss? Rabbi Yitzchak said to him, as Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai,